With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, yeah. What it is. I am Reese Waters. Welcome to 106.7 The Fan. First things first, I want to hear from you. Let your voice be heard. As I always do, 800-636-1067. I want to hear from the people. Now, we have a whole lot of things to discuss. We got the NBA restart. Let me tell you how good it feels just to turn on the TV in the middle of the afternoon and see what looks like a summer league game inside of an arcade. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. I want to know how you're feeling about the NBA restart. And I don't know if any of you guys have done this digital fan idea. I would love to get somebody's thoughts on that and walk me through that experience and how that whole thing works. I want to hear about that. I want to hear about Major League Baseball, which seems to be just holding on like the rest of us in quarantine, like my shape up right now, just barely holding on before we call it quits. So that's me. I'm this close to just cutting it all off and starting anew, deciding I'm gonna start a brand new phase of life when the reality is I couldn't maintain it. And that's where we are with Major League Baseball. So I want to hear about that. I want to get into the NCAA a little bit as well. A lot going on there. There was a call involving multiple players that went poorly. Also want to talk about these this report that came out. I read it on SI. It's been reported in multiple places online about the amount of generational wealth that is generally generated from college football. Potentially lost, but generally lost by their labor market. They've actually started to quantify that. I want to talk about these social justice messages. Let me know how you hear about that. They've greenlit that in college football, and you've seen it in the NBA and the WNBA. I want to hear about the Wizards, who kneeled and then fell to the Phoenix Suns. Whether they can catch the Brooklyn Nets that are throwing out a roster that I could probably make. The Red Wolves movement is real. Fans continue to move in that direction. If you have any Philadelphia 76ers slander, that's always welcome. I love to laugh at Ben Simmons. It's one of my practices. We're going to get into Myers Leonard standing, as well as Jonathan Isaac's comments about standing. And then I want to know what your favorite jerseys are that you've seen with the social justice messages. We got a breakdown of all the jerseys that have been worn so far. I want to know which ones you're feeling and which ones you're not feeling. Would you buy a jersey that has a social justice message on the back? I want to hear about all of that. Once again, 800-636-1067. But I'm going to start with the juxtaposition between the NBA coming back as Major League Baseball sputters around. After a five-month hiatus, and I was actually in the studio, in the 106.7 studios, the night that the NBA season ended, the night that that game with the Utah Jazz was canceled, which was coincidentally the night that Tom Hanks announced that he had it. He was one of the first big-name celebrities to announce that he had it, and I applaud him for going through the process, being transparent, and making us feel confident we could come on the other side of this thing. So after a five-month hiatus, the NBA tipped back off this past week, and man, was it exciting. I'm going to tell you, I have never been this excited for a summer league game since every time they told me I wasn't going to play. Because, you know, because I don't know if any of you guys were scrubs like I was, but when you a scrub, you don't want to play. People feel bad for you. Like, oh man, like why don't you just put him in the game? First of all, what is it? If it was going to go well when they put me in the game, I wouldn't be on the end of the bench. I'm on the end of the bench not just to protect the rest of the players and the coaches. I'm at the end of the bench to protect myself. And the worst was when my family would come. Sometimes my family and neighbors and friends would come. They would hear about my game, feel like they're showing support. Look, note to y'all out there, okay? You feel like you're showing somebody support, ask them in a private moment, are they garbage? Just ask them. Just ask them. Because we know that we're garbage and we will tell you, okay? If we have some reluctance about you coming to support us, we're garbage. Just, it could be, it don't even have to be sport. It could be, you know, they could be in a band, you know, it could be, you know, it could be a play. You know, just pull a child aside and just say, hey, you know, I was thinking about coming out to support you on Saturday. Just a quick question, do you stink? And they'll tell you. You're not doing nobody no favors by, quote, showing support to come watch me in all my shame play 2 embarrassing minutes a game. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Now, I have not been so excited to watch a summer league game. Just seeing the NBA back just gave me so much life again. And seeing the NHL back and seeing Major League Baseball back gave me the same feelings, but the feelings I have for the NBA was different than it was for Major League Baseball because the confidence level that I have for NBA is different than it is for Major League Baseball. Why? Well, because the league, along with the leadership of Adam Silver and the players' union, bought into the concept of the bubble. They agreed to sequester themselves from all their friends and family, submitting the testing protocols, taking proper hygiene and masking seriously, giving up all their personal pleasures for the most part. I mean, sometimes you got to get wings at Magic City. Sometimes you got to do that. And I understand that, you know, to pull the wings, willing to sacrifice personal pleasures, and we're willing to cede to the advice of the medical community. And for that reason, I have the utmost of confidence in the NBA. They had no positive tests. Zero positive tests. WNBA, much the same. Following the lead of the NBA, following scientifically based measures. And so far, it appears it has paid off. And it looks like they're likely to crown a champion by Halloween. Then you have Major League Baseball. We were happy when they came back. They were the first to come back. They got no bubbles. They got no lockdown. Just got players coming and going as they please. And now we pretty much have a whole team off the board. I saw where 17 games have been canceled up until this point. Rob Manfred, word on the street is that the season could be canceled as early as Monday. Rob Manfred is saying that they might have to go to winning percentages to determine division winners if every team can't complete 60 games. So not only do we have random players missing who opted out, which already takes away from the legitimacy of a normal season, then you have only 60 games. You're playing less than the volume of games you would play in a normal season. And now, not every team is even going to play 60 games. You want to talk about ammunition for an argument against whoever this champion turns out to be. That's if they finish. But that's what, hey, look, you got no bubbles, you got no lockdowns, you letting players come and go as they please. Now you got a breakout with the Cardinals as well. It looks like Canada was right about not letting teams in. I can't blame them. And the NFL appears all too willing to follow in the footsteps of Major League Baseball. And don't even get me started on college football. That's a whole segment unto itself. I don't know what college football is waiting on. College football is like that friend that's in that bad relationship. They just won't call it quits. Hey, man, cut bait and start your new life. We all known that this was going to go bad. We told you this was going to go bad when you met her. We told you don't even go over there. You shouldn't have even started this process, college football. I don't know what you're thinking. I could deal with college football. That's a whole segment unto itself. But to me, the way that the NBA has handled their business and the way that Major League Baseball and the NFL have handled their business is instructive to us on the outside for what happens when you don't follow the best medical and scientific information available. Now, I say that understanding that it is much more difficult for Major League Baseball and the NFL to go to, say, a bubble. It is much more difficult for them. The volume is much greater. With the NFL, you have attrition. It's not like you can have locked rosters in the NFL. They're pulling people off the street in a normal season. I understand that it's not as easy for them to accomplish. But my question is, how else did you expect to accomplish this? You're talking about a full contact sport in the middle of a pandemic, played in hot spots with no bubble, with people coming and going. Like, how? Yes, it is much more difficult for you to go to the bubble, but how did you plan to achieve this without one? And the attempt, there's money, time, and potentially health that's cost in the attempt. It's not like, oh, let's just try it, and then if not, we just press the reset button like 8-bit Nintendo. No, this actually, there's a tab for trying this. And so my takeaway is, and hopefully the takeaway of the powers that be, the people that are making decisions outside of sports, my takeaway is that, yes, we need to weigh the medical information along with financial concerns, along with a host of other concerns that don't have to do necessarily with the virus or with health. All those things need to be weighed. But if you want to embark on anything and actually have it be successful, that scientific information, that medical information has to be at the forefront of your mind. If you want to be successful, if you don't want to waste money, if you don't want to put people in harm's way unnecessarily. And that's what I'm seeing that the NBA is doing, and the WNBA, and MMA, and international soccer, and boxing. I'm not seeing that from Major League Baseball. I'm not seeing it from the NFL, and I'm seeing even less from college football. And that's the reason why I have a lot less confidence that those sports will be successful. But if we on the outside follow their lead, I have a lot less confidence that we will be successful. I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. You can weigh in on any and all the things I just mentioned. Love to love you. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. All right. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. You know, we got to bring in some outcasts to bring you guys back into the conversation. I appreciate you guys for rocking with me. As I mentioned, you know, I'm on the Rob Manfred plan right now. We trying to work it out. We trying to keep it going. You know, we like right now, I'm basically the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins right now. That's how bad their situation is. I don't even get their name right when I'm trying to get their back. I'm the Miami Marlins on a bus on my way from Philadelphia to Miami. I don't know if any of you guys ever taken a bus down multiple states down the Eastern Seaboard. You'll see all the characters that America has to offer. In fact, I feel like that should be a required trip for anybody who calls themselves an American. For you to be naturalized, you should have to take a Greyhound all the way from Philadelphia to Miami. They all have that experience. Now, as I mentioned, One of the things floating around on social media that I did not agree with was this idea that so many people were giving gestures in support of social justice, were kneeling for the anthem, were wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts, wearing equality on the back of their jerseys, that it took more courage to stand for the anthem now than it took to kneel for the anthem before. It takes more courage to stand for the anthem now than Kaepernick took to kneel, to which I thought was nonsense, because the ramifications for Kaepernick kneeling for the anthem are still being felt by him today. I don't think that there will ever be a collusion lawsuit brought by a player who is dropped by the leagues because he stood for the anthem. So I thought that was nonsense. At the same token, it takes us being in that situation to actually determine the validity of that statement. And now we've crossed that bridge. Miami Heat center Myers Leonard stood for the national anthem before Saturday's game against the Denver Nuggets. And in doing so, he had teammates on each side of him with their arms draped around his legs. A visual far different than that of Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, who essentially were ignored by teammates when they kneeled. I also appreciate Myers Leonard's statement. He said, "I think I can be a beacon of light, not only for my voice or platform and action, but everything I'm doing." He said, "I certainly support Black Lives Matter. I'm very aware of what is going on, but I can be both. My patriotism runs deep." Now, what I appreciate about that is he acknowledged why he felt like he needed to stand, but he also acknowledged the causes for which people were kneeling. And that is a step past which too many people refuse to go. You know, there's too many conversations that I hear that end with the manner of the protest and not the reasoning and the ideals behind the protest. And so Myers Leonard, in crossing that bridge, to me, it made all the sense in the world. I had no problem with what he did. And I'm also glad that this episode occurred to put that rumor, that speculation, that crazy idea that somehow it's equivalent to stand for the anthem now as it was to kneel before, to bed. Because that needed to be put to bed. And I'm glad it was put to bed, and it was put to bed early. Then you have Orlando's Jonathan Isaac. And by the way, I want to hear from you guys how you feel about how the players are handling themselves, conducting themselves with regards to social justice initiatives. Are you in favor of it? Does it turn you off? Does it take away from the game? Does it draw you in? Let me know how you feel about it. 800-636-1067. Orlando's Jonathan Isaac was actually the first player in the NBA bubble to stand during the anthem. He did it on Friday. And then San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich and assistant Becky Hammon also stood later Friday in Lake Buena Vista. Now, Greg Popovich has been a loud critic of those who came for Colin Kaepernick and the Black Lives Matter movement. So his stance on the matter is very firmly entrenched. And guess what? Nobody came for him for standing. I didn't see anybody come for him for standing. We already know what he stands for. Now, Jonathan Isaac actually was one of the players who really trended on social media because of his responses to why it was that he was standing. He essentially said that it was religious. He said, Jesus came and died for our sins, and if we come to an understanding of that and understand that God wants to have a relationship with us, we can get past skin color, we can get past all the things in our world that are messed up. You know what? I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with any of that. But faith without works is dead, my man. Faith without works is dead. I agree. that with trust in the Lord and your higher power, whoever he may be, that we can get past all these petty squabbles, and we should get past all these petty squabbles. But that alone has not shown itself to be effective. We also have to do what we can do in order to affect change. Now, if he wants to be a note in the symphony of players, and with the understanding that all of these players are going to be pushing and asking and demanding and protesting and speaking, and he wants to be an example of pure faith, that's fair. That's fair enough. But his statement taken in and of itself leaves me wondering how exactly it is that he thinks these ideals are achieved. Because Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, which is generally held up as, quote, the way, that's the most acceptable way to most people. He didn't stay in the church. They didn't stay in the church. He didn't stay in the black community. They protested. They walked. They spoke out. They were nonviolent, but they took to the streets. And I don't know any man of faith. I don't know any man who says, who feels like he can weigh his faith against that of MLK. So he had all the faith of any man I've ever known or heard of, and he hit the streets also. So, again, in the symphony of player action, this is an interesting note. It's a different note. And if he just wanted it to be a note, a mystic cacophony of sound, it's, you know, I'm good with that. But his comments left me a little wanting. It was his comments and his reasoning that left me a little wanting. Now, as I said with Myers-Leonard, the action in and of itself doesn't bother me. It's the reasoning behind it. I want to know how you guys feel about all this. 800-636-1067. We got a pretty good show. We got a loaded show for you guys. I got my man Ben Haynes coming on a little bit later. I got Wes Hall coming on a little bit later. I got my man Chris Russell, the Rooster, coming on a little bit later. You know, I always got to have a Rooster on when I'm on. And I got my man Byron Kerr coming in to talk Nats. You guys know him as the beat reporter at MASN Sports. So we're loaded. But of course, I always want to hear from you guys. Next, I got to address what's going on in the NCAA. If you thought Rob Manfred was a mess, if you thought Major League Baseball was a mess, okay, college football is right now driving the Miami Marlins from Philadelphia to Miami. That's their current circumstance. I'm going to get into that as soon as we get back. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Hey, your boy George Clinton is having the best weekend ever. I don't know. Hey, Sean, did you see that George Clinton just got into the Q's? He just pledged Omega Psi Phi.
I did see that. One of my friends is a Q. One of my friends is a Q, and he was very adamant about, you know, Clinton being a Q now.
You know, if anybody could make pledging as an adult acceptable, it's George Clinton. I always thought, you know, I've had people be like, hey, why don't you pledge? Because I went to Columbia. And we look, man, Columbia didn't have enough of us in order to have a substantial fraternity situation. It would have just been three of us screaming in the wind, trying to make three of us trying to choreograph a four man Boyz II Men dance. Like it was no way that we could achieve that. So people have said, hey, why don't you pledge as an adult? And I'm like, well, I didn't get the experience. Like I didn't get the full. What I'm gonna look like? They all talk. Oh, you remember Hell Week? Remember Pledge Week? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. That was crazy. I was 35 for my Hell Week. I had to correlate a whole box of documents in 15 minutes. That's crazy. I mean, like, I can't identify with them. But like, if anybody can make it cool, it's George Clinton. So I'm like, hey, Can't nobody drag George Clinton. But put George Clinton along with Usher and the people that we can't talk bad about. So shout out to him. We got a call. I want to go to my man Chad from Winchester. I want to, by the way, the rest of you guys, I want you to call in as well. I appreciate you guys always lift me up and carry me. 800-636-1067. Chad from Winchester. Chad, what's going on, man?
Not much, Reese. I'm just glad to hear you this morning. George Clinton did get me going a little bit, so I'm glad to hear that. That made me feel better.
And were you in a frat? Did you pledge?
Oh, no, sir. I actually went to a small university, and it was pretty sheltered, so no, I didn't.
Sad, man. And, you know, they try to get us to pledge as adults so they can make fun of us and have us serve drinks at all the events. That's all that is.
Well, I know I appreciated your point of Leonard from Miami and his stances, and I was telling the screener that I always appreciate listening to you because you have a very objective point of view, and you're looking at all sides of the argument no matter what the issue is. So first and foremost, I just want to appreciate to say thank you for what you do. And then the other thing I wanted to say was, I used to look at sports as this distraction because the world is crazy all around us, and it seems like it just continues to swirl. And now it's kind of merged with all the social issues and everything that's happening all around us. And so it may have taken a little bit away from my enjoyment of watching the sports, although I appreciate, you know, the stances that these athletes are making and standing up for it. But I'm with you. I would really much more appreciate the fact of the athletes going out and making the change that's needed in society. As long as even us as individuals, we're the light, we're supposed to be going out and causing change. And kneeling keeps the issue out there, but I really feel like, you know, at least Kaepernick, when he was kneeling, he was out affecting change in the community and not just kneeling. I almost look at kneeling as the simple way out, and I don't mean to say that is crassly, but it just seems like, okay, you're kneeling, but what are you doing to affect the change? So thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Chad. I mean, that was one of the arguments when the NBA players were deciding whether or not to come back and play or to devote themselves full time to things in the community. One of the arguments was that by playing and continuing to generate income, you're helping create generational wealth that you can then go back and use in those communities to affect change, not to mention all the people that depend on the income, many of whom are black and brown people as well. You know, you make an interesting point when it comes to the idea of distraction and the idea of the separation of sports and social justice and the world outside of it. And I think one distinction that needs to be made is this idea that the ideal of Black Lives Matter and the push for equality and you know, the end to systemic racism, things of that nature, are political statements. Because if you view them as political statements, then that's something that, I mean, any political statement can be divisive, generally will be divisive, certainly in 2020. And that absolutely would take away from your enjoyment of the product. I mean, I'm just imagining if I were to watch football and there were political statements I disagreed with littered throughout the arena and the stadium and the court, that would upset me greatly. I think where the difference is that I don't view Black Lives Matter as being a political statement, because I view it as being a human rights statement. You know, to say that it's a political statement would be to say that there's an opposing statement. And no, All Lives Matter is not an opposing statement. We're pushing towards All Lives Matter. The opposing statement, what is it, that Black Lives don't matter? Is that the opposing statement? I feel like folks getting to a point where they feel like they need to assert the absolute minimum degree of respect, which is that your life matters. I mean, just think about what a small ask that is, just to say that your life matters. That is a human rights statement. That is a civil rights statement. And I view it much in the same way as I viewed what people were pushing for in the 1960s. That I didn't view as political either. That I viewed as a necessary product of the progress that we have achieved up to that point and pushing society forward. So I hear what you're saying. I think that if I were to see it again, if I were to see that as political, it would be very divisive and it would turn me off. It absolutely would be. If I were to see political statements I disagree with, I don't see that as a political statement. I see that as a statement, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's like trying to save the environment. You know, it's like protecting children or being pro-education, like just ideals that a society should always stand for. And the fact that a segment of society feels so downtrodden that they feel the need to assert that their lives barely matter should be a concern to everybody. So I appreciate that call. I want to hear from the rest of you guys. 800-636-1067. I really wanted to drag the NCAA. Chad got me off topic. I appreciate him for doing that, because that was a point I definitely wanted to make. So fortunately for the NCAA, you live to see another hour, because I have Byron Kerr coming in next segment, and we're going to get into the Nationals, who fortunately have not been hit hard, other than Juan Soto missing some time, have not been hit hard with the cancellations and with the reschedulings, and we're not on a bus from Philadelphia to Miami. I can't imagine. Sean, what is the longest bus trip you have ever taken in your life?
I would have to say it was in 2007.
I feel like the longest bus trip I've ever taken in my life is probably, I took a trip through New Jersey one time. And even though it was just through one state, it stopped at what felt like every prison on the East Coast. I have never clutched my purse before. But I clutched my purse throughout the entire bus trip through New Jersey. It's hard out here for a player. And yes, we clutch purses too. We can do that. I can't imagine that bus trip. Shout out to them. Shout out to Miami Marlins. First of all, that should be a reality show. Forget Hard Knocks. I want to know what's going on that bus trip. Because let me tell you, going to college in New York City and with my family down here in the D.C. area, that 3.5 hours Greyhound bus trip was probably 2 hours too long in that bathroom. Okay, that bathroom was tolerable until probably Philly, and it was unbearable the whole rest of the way. Can you imagine having to take that bad boy all the way down to Miami? That's a biohazard. That is a rolling biohazard right there. They need to zip that entire thing up. Forget that it's coronavirus on the inside. It's toxic waste in there too. All right. On that note, I'm going to bring in my man Byron Kerr, beat reporter from Madison Sports, to talk all things Nats. Of course, I want to hear from you guys. Hit me up, 800-636-1067. Reese Waters on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.